Welcome to a new edition of Dome Theory. We're bringing in the group chat today for a pressing conversation that we've been having for weeks now. Of course, the albums that dropped a couple weeks ago, starting with Kanye West Donda, which was accidentally released, and then Drake's Certified Lover Boy, which dropped through a weird, subtle SportsCenter interlude at like Sunday morning at 7 o'clock when no one was looking, and someone found it and put it on Twitter for, and did Drake's work. So that was the rollout of those two albums, which was messy, chaotic, and really unappealing to me on both fronts. But we'll get to the Drake Kanye albums disputes. We were just talking before we got on here. John Wall is going home. He's not going to play for the Rockets again. They're going to try to trade him, buy him out, whatever it's going to be. And I'm not happy about it. These two seem fine about it. We have Nate Sperlin from the Cat Podcast, right?
Hello, everybody.
We have Windows A from Texas.
A&M, howdy.
Giggle. Texas.
He's joining us from way down there. He was just up at Syracuse, so we'll hear about some of his adventures up there maybe later in the show. I'll be up at Syracuse this weekend.
We're not hearing anything about Zay's amazing weekend at Syracuse.
It wasn't even amazing.
I asked you what happened, and you were like, nothing.
And that was off the air.
And that was it. And it was just like, okay, well, I wanted more substance to a story, dude.
I wanted more substance in my journey. I wanted more substance to happen.
Our buddy Jay Shep didn't go, huh?
No, he didn't go.
No.
How'd that happen?
Scary. He was scary.
You didn't see too much of Dan.
I know why. I won't divulge it here, but I know why. And it's a valid reason.
No,
it's not.
It is. No, it is. It is.
CBT flopped, huh, Lindo? Was A'Sherrod Blakely there?
Sir, I went for one reason. All right. For one reason.
Hey, and that didn't even play out.
I didn't go to no events. So take that however you want.
Just stay at home too. And you know what? Next weekend's probably going to be better. You guys, Syracuse should have just put everything on one weekend and have everybody up there at the same time. Graduation.
For real?
Nate's not going.
Hell no. Okay, going.
Bobby, stay on topic.
All right,
tell
John
them
Wall.
That you think John Wall is popular?
Looks like it's Isaiah's podcast now.
If we're looking at the Houston Rockets roster right now, I know John Wall, and I've heard some other podcasts when it comes to John Wall, because he's one of the outstanding contracts in the league that has to be dealt with. He's obviously not part of Houston's future, and he's got this massive deal, like $42 million a year when he's with the Wizards. So I understand the Rockets looking to move on from him and get into their future players and all that kind of stuff. But in the meantime, while they try to figure that out, you have a roster that's young guys, middling veterans, and then just some bad players, because they're obviously the worst team in the NBA a year ago. The one guy that you have when the Houston Rockets come to New York City to play Nate's Nets, or come to Boston to play the Celtics, the one guy, or maybe number two on that list, rather, behind Jalen Green, that you're going to be coming to watch, is John Wall.
That's not true.
One of the best guards in the league just a couple of years ago. Dynamic passing point guard. He was a very popular player. Now, I know he's not the same player anymore. But he's still a name. People still go to see Melo. People still go to see
Melo. You're talking about John Wall.
John Wall is one of the best point guards
first
in the league in the
first,
middle of last decade.
First of all, last year when Portland came to town, people weren't thinking, oh, Melo's playing. It's Dame's playing. Oh, and Melo's playing too. That's cool.
Yeah, so that's how it would be with the Rockets. Jalen Green's playing.
It would be like John Wall's playing too. Wall's playing again. Here comes a loss.
Nah, I mean, I'd rather see Christian Wood over John Wall right now, to be honest with you.
Bobby's talking about he's one of the most popular players. Okay, he's more popular than Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah. Olynyk's not even on the team anymore.
Is
I don't think Exum is either.
DJ Augustine.
Mm-hmm. Eric Gordon. Why isn't Nima here? This is right up his alley.
Yeah, he would say, what the fuck? What are you talking about, Bobby?
Well, at the beginning of last year when James Harden was still there, Nate's obviously a big Harden fan, mm-hmm. Wall was given a lot of effort to being a leader in that room,
and he's trying still to raise everybody up. The team.
He was
and they were losers.
he's coming back from Achilles, and
yeah, that's true.
He's obviously never going to be the same player again, but if he can rekindle some of his form there, people will want to come on and watch John Wall. But instead, he's sitting on the bench probably for the first 20 so games to start next year. Who knows? He might miss half the year.
Can I ask you an honest question? Do you think people go to the Garden to see Derrick Rose?
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
All right. Because I think Derrick Rose might be the best case scenario in terms of superstar point guards who
that's a great point.
Had
a great
their comparison. Careers derailed by injury, but then at the same time, it's like they're not as popular as first of all, John Wall was never at the peak that D Rose was in the first place. So don't get me saying, "Oh, John Wall and Derrick Rose, they
no,
might."
No, but he's probably no, just an echelon below. Yeah,
yeah. But that being said, it's like. I don't think people are really going to the Garden. Well, okay, the Knicks might be a bad example, but
if you're going to see the Rockets, that's who you would want to be seeing. Maybe behind Jalen Green, and there's some other young guys Kevin there too Porter, that might show out.
Kevin Porter Jr.
I think John Wall's. If you ask
didn't
the average
he drop
NBA
points
fan,
last year?
Yeah, but if you ask the average,
how are you
NBA,
just
going to
be like, yeah, they're 50 points? Like it's 50 points.
That's true. He's on the come up, but if you ask the average NBA fan right now who you want to see on the Rockets, you'll probably get mostly Jalen Green, and then number two would be John Wall. Right
Can I ask
him.
You, have those people you're asking seen Kevin Porter highlights?
No, no way. He's been on the Cavs right, doing nothing, and he's been doing things for
count.
A handful of
they're
games.
They're not informed people.
What,
anybody
you're supposed
who's,
to know every...
Any, I mean, anybody who's seen Kevin Porter Jr. highlights and understand how John Wall's career is currently going is going to rather see Kevin Porter Jr. over John Wall.
Linda, are you happy with John Wall sitting?
Am I happy with it?
Yes.
I'm indifferent, like everyone else in the world. They're like, John Wall's still in the league?
I guess people don't care. I mean, When you ask me, I want to see the most healthy, fully loaded rosters everywhere across the league. Because we're going to end up in a spot where the regular season just doesn't matter. They're trying to do this play-in tournament or this mid-season tournament
That's
now
stupid.
To get people going. That's not going to work. Get the players on every single team to play every night. If you got to space out the season, so be it. And there shouldn't be players, even if it's Andre Iguodala on the Grizzlies, even if it's Blake Griffin, who was half dead on the Pistons. People want to see Blake Griffin. People probably want to see Kevin Love out there with the Cavs. I know they haven't done it yet, but you're probably going to reach a day one day where the Cavs say, all right, let's just sit down Kevin Love. We don't even want him here. Just because these guys are making big bucks. No one wanted to see Al Horford last year with the Thunder.
Al Horford.
After, out of all the players there on the Thunder, Horford's probably one of the like three or so that you would recognize, right? And he's sitting on the bench for half the year there. I just don't like having a player who's fully healthy. Obviously, you don't want them spoiling wins, but was Al Horford really going to make the Thunder win that much more? Like, I don't think teams should be able to just sit guys down while they're trying to move them so they lose.
I mean, it's also a fact of the matter of you want the younger players to have experience so that when it's time to win, they know what to do.
I'm not saying play Wall 40 minutes. I think he should just be coming off that bench and playing a little bit.
Well, every minute matters, though. It's the same thing as, like, I don't know, this is probably not the most clean comparison, but, like, when you look at what the Bears are doing right now, you have Justin Fields and you have Andy Dalton, and they're starting Andy Dalton, and it's so clear that Justin Fields is better, but their whole thing is Justin Fields could sit on the bench and learn, but every single second that they take away from Justin Fields playing right now is – some experience that's lost for his young career. And I think it's the same logic with John Wall and the rest of the young guys.
Fair. That's probably the best point you can say in favor of it. But I'd still want him around the team. I'd still probably want him playing sometimes. And again, he's the kind of player as a passer, as a facilitating first guy who's going to help young guys around him, I would think. And again, he's not the same, but I don't know. This is something I've never liked. I thought Iguodala would have helped that. And, you know, not every story is the same. Iguodala didn't want to be in Memphis. So that was one thing. I think Houston's kind of forcing this on Wall.
I mean, well, I have to see what happens after, because there are also times where, like, players are sent home and it's because they don't want to be there, like Iguodala, like you just mentioned. So if John Wall feels he's a player that can take a team to the playoffs still or help a team out with that massive contract, then all power to him. But if it's the Rockets that's telling him that he needs to sit home, I think that he should still play. I think that he's still worthy of some minutes, but I see both sides here, but yeah. I mean, either way, it doesn't really matter because the Rockets aren't making the playoffs. So,
well, that's my point. You want to see as many good guys out there as you possibly can. Not DJ Augustine. Nima, of course, had a trade and it failed. So I don't know if this is valid, but this was his trade, sending John Wall to the Timberwolves, which I'm sure is going to thrill all the Minnesota fans. Danilo Gallinari, Cam Reddish go to the Rockets. Patrick Beverley returns to Houston.
Why would the Timberwolves trade for John Wall? They have D'Angelo Russell. I mean, not D'Angelo Russell. They have Anthony Edwards.
Maybe they miss Ricky Rubio. They want another Ricky Rubio type player.
No.
Ricky and then Rubio, Beasley, like, this is why it doesn't work. Beasley Ricky goes to Rubio. The Hawks. I think the Wolves like Beasley. And, you know, Prince goes back to Atlanta. That doesn't really matter. Daniel House, who Nima's been trying to trade for like 2 years, goes to Atlanta as well. So this is basically just Nima's fantasy that's not going to happen. But
if Carl Anthony Towns ever decides to play defense for real and actually decides to be a defensive player of the year contender, the Timberwolves would be in a much different situation.
Yeah, they finished like 11th.
They're 15th every year, I feel like. That brings me to my next thing here. Bet Online is offering an incredible bonus this weekend. And over-unders is one of the things that they offer. So I was talking about that last episode we had. And the Wolves right now, as we talk about them, team wins, over-unders. Minnesota's right now, and again, I think we're back to that 82-game season, 33.5. The under is the better odds.
I'll take under.
So Nate's going to want to have to go over to BetOnline. The thing is, I was talking about them yesterday. Towns and Russell played, like, what, 10 games together last year? Mm-hmm. And when they were together, they looked pretty good.
They did.
So they did. That's something I'm interested in seeing this year. Because, again, I'm like you. I don't think they're that great. They've struggled in the past.
I mean, because Towns doesn't play defense, and he has all the tools to literally be one of the best defenders in the league. He's tall, he's lengthy, he can, like, he can block shots, he could challenge at the rim, he has the agility to go on the perimeter and guard if he wanted to. Because you see it on offense with his dribble moves and stuff like that. He literally has all the tools to be one of the best defenders in the league, and he just doesn't. And it makes no sense to me.
Who is the hip-hop Karl Anthony Towns? That's a question I always like asking.
J. Cole.
This is why we don't discuss music. The hip-hop Karl Anthony Towns?
Is it J. Cole?
I say J. Cole.
It could be. He had the great album.
J. Cole has the ability to be one of the best rappers of all time, and he's
consistently
not lived up to expectation, whether it's him being stubborn and producing for himself for 4 straight albums, not getting features for 3 straight albums, just plateauing overall. It's like J. Cole.
That's a good one, Lindo. Lindo J. Cole didn't even want to answer the question.
Be in this the same conversation as Kendrick, if we're being honest. But
Nate gave me a perfect answer right there. So BetOnline.
I'm here to pod today.
This weekend, NFL is back. I don't love the matchup on Thursday, but it's football. People like having it back. So maybe you want to go watch the team play the Giants. 3.5-point favorites is the team on Thursday. Then you got Saints Panthers, Saints 3.5. You got the Browns, 12.5-point favorites over the Texans. I'm going to be, you know, I love my points. Bengals Bears, -3 is the Bears. Steelers, 5.5 over the Raiders. We got Bills, 3.5 over the Dolphins. Rams, 4 over the Colts. 49ers, 3.5 over the Eagles. We got 6 Broncos over the Jaguars. Patriots, 5.5 over the Jets. That game scares me to death.
J-E-T-S.
Jets. Let's go, Zach.
Cardinals, I do not want to fall to 0-2 at the Jets. 4.5, Cardinals over Vikings. Ooh, Linda, your Vikings don't look good.
You're a Vikings fan?
He's not
Nate,
a Vikings
you,
fan.
You see how Bobby just makes stuff up? Who makes stuff up better than Bobby?
I was about to say, like, you. I'm pretty sure you like Derrick Henry and the Titans. The
he's one
blue.
Of the he's one of the greatest. Nice uniforms. He's one of the greatest storytellers of our generation.
Oh yeah,
we'll
Nah,
Buccaneers. Buccaneers 12.5 over the Falcons. That's some crazy lines this week. Titans are underdogs, Lindo, at the Seahawks, 5.5. Chargers 3 over the Cowboys. And then Monday night's 10.5 Packers over Lions. There's some big lines there.
What about the Chiefs and the Ravens?
Is that next week?
Yes, it is.
That line might not be out. Yeah, it looks like that line's not out yet. So when it is, head over to BetOnline. This is a massive deal that we had last week through CLNS here, and you'll want to take advantage of it. We're back and better than ever at BetOnline.ag. All the teams are on the field to start another football season. BetOnline is the number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Updated site, and the site is great. Go check it out for all that over-under stuff. I'm there all the time looking at that. Mobile device is great. And now this weekend only, you're going to get 100% welcome back bonus. So you'll double your initial deposit. You get 100, you're going to get 200 to bet on football this weekend. You also got basketball, boxing, Vegas casino games, and of course baseball. You know, I'm still watching baseball to end this year in September. So go check out BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Make sure you use the code NFL100 to help us out here at CLNS and Dome Theory. I also got to shout out Legends. This sweater they sent me was incredible. We all got one over at the Garn Report. I think mine was the best. This is so great. Let me take it full screen.
Boom. It's like we're on QVC.
Look at that. Would you get one of these, Nate?
Probably not camo.
Different color. Black, blue, brown.
Maybe black. I'm in a black hoodie, so.
The white are nice, too. I'll get Lindo a white one. Legends brand is a good supporter of the Garn Report. I saw you wearing the white tank top. It's your color.
That's anyway, true.
These are the people who wear Legends. Steve Nash, Baker Mayfield, Matt Barnes, Willie McGinnis wore it way back when. Marcus Morris Sr. Marcus Morris Sr., Markieff Morris, Larry Nance, many more. Quavo wears Legends brand. Visit Legends.com today and see why athletes everywhere are swapping out their big box brands for Legends apparel. It's soft. It's comfortable. I wore it out watching Thursday Night Football when it was raining. Last Thursday, so go check them out. I got a nice shirt here, too, from them. This is perfect for the gym. So go use the code GARDEN20 for 20% off your first order. This offer ends October 10th, so go do it now and get your shipping deal, get 20% off, legends.com. This is some good stuff. I'm not even messing around with that. I got a nice pair of shorts from them, too. And then finally, Raycon. Raycon headphones, earbuds, everyday look, feel, it all sounds better than ever. You know, it's another thing I got to have in the gym too. 32-hour battery life, 8 hours of play time, and they're half the price of other premium audio brands. Right now, you can get 15% off Raycon at buyraycon.com/garden, GARDEN. That's buyraycon.com/garden. Get 15% off your Raycons. A good time of year to do that.
Whew. And Blue Chew.
Dome Theory is flush with money right now. It's good times over here at the network. Let's talk about what we came here to talk about
today. Oh, all right. So QVC is over. Beautiful.
Oh, we didn't come here to talk about Blue Chew and how it changed Bobby's life.
Changed my life. You know, Earth, Wind, and Fire changed my life, not Blue Chew. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. Kanye.
I don't know what to do with that.
Obas will tell you.
I'm sure he would.
Kanye Drake. So let me give people the lead up. We have 4, 5, 6 years of beef between these two. Hip hop's Cold War. I kind of gave the preview of this little standoff that they were going to have on the same day, seemingly, when Drake announced it through the SportsCenter ad. Kanye moved the iTunes date that he kept pushing back right to the Drake date, right? That's how it went, Nate.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought we were going to have this all-time release day. Two of the biggest hip-hop artists ever going head-to-head on the same day. I don't think the sales battle was going to be all that interesting, and you'll probably hit on that a little bit later, Nate, but just in terms of how people were reacting to it, what people were listening to first, all that different kind of stuff. I was so excited for that possibility, but I also knew it wasn't going to happen. And what ended up...
Oh, did you release Kanye's album on Sunday? Is that what you want to tell the public?
So right, yeah, now? we get a Sunday morning release. I'm just getting up because I don't wake up till like 10. And you guys are already texting about it. And like after all this stadium action and the iTunes date and this and that, the grand rollout that Kanye had, which I didn't like, you know, I didn't like all the changes. I didn't like all the like turmoil during that release, how just rough around the edges it was. And then, of course, the fact that you had to either pay the money or shell out the Apple Music membership or do whatever you needed to do to listen to it. And people were just kind of caught in the cycle. I just didn't like it. It obviously was a good moneymaker for him. I won't knock Kanye's ability to drum up anticipation for his album, but like no one else is going to be able to do that. Like at some point I just get bored of it. Like I listened to the second one with you guys when we were texting back and forth there. And then ultimately it just leads up to the Sunday dump, which I guess wasn't him, but the Kanye rollout didn't excite me all that much. And then, you know, as him and Drake were going back and forth, he released Drake's address, right? You know, had some cover ideas and ultimately just landed on a black cover. And then instead of kind of condensing this album down, we heard a lot of tracks, a lot of versions throughout the preview. We basically just got a track dump, version twos, and this like 3 hour long jumbled, I won't say mess because there was some flow and theme to it. Yeah, you pushing 3 hours, two and a half.
It was an hour 48.
Kanye's?
Yes.
Correct.
No, and Drake's was an hour and 36 or something like that. Or an hour and 28, something around that ballpark.
Let me check this down the length right here.
No, I can tell you.
98 minutes.
No way, that was 3 hours.
Yeah.
That's an
hour.
He thought
it was a Chris Brown album from 2 years ago.
All right, fair enough. Still long, though. And still a lot of tracks.
Let's get these fact checks correct.
A lot of tracks that I didn't think needed to be in here. God Breathe It went on forever. I don't like Okay, I know you guys do. Just a lot of the stuff here on the first half of this album I didn't like. Off the Grid wasn't that great. Jail, like that track. I thought it was a good like intro after the real intro there, but still went on a little too long at 5 minutes. And you even had an 11-minute track in here, didn't you, at some point? Or an 8-minute, rather. So
no, you had 11 and 8. It was the same song, remixed.
Yeah. Oh, that one was good, though. That one, surprisingly, Jesus Lord, believe it or not, besides, I don't think that we'll talk about the Larry Hoover outro.
Trump should have freed Larry.
Just a, you know, jumbled mess of statements here. Too long, too much dead weight. And this goes back to this thing with Kanye for me. That like he used to just have like a perfectionist approach to it. Like everything would sound polished, everything would seem to be in the right place. You'd have the best tracks. There wouldn't be too much skips throughout his albums early on in his career. And this is an album that I'll just never be able to play through, which I like doing. You know, like, I'm just kind of bouncing around between these songs.
I kind of disagree with that a little bit. I think the one thing that people are missing with this whole Kanye release is the fact that he himself didn't release the album on Sunday. It was supposed to come out on the same day that Drake's album did. So,
but can he go back and fix it?
I mean, but at the same time, people are already getting their first listens and people are already drawing their first impressions of it. So it's essentially ruined. So you could go back and fix something as much as you want, but at the same time, you're not going to be able to get that first impression back. So us knowing how Kanye is someone who likes to work up to the last minute and will push things back because he doesn't think things are perfect, and seeing how essentially 5 days got robbed from him, we don't know what changes he would have made in those 5 days. We don't know what alterations he would have made.
But he had like months.
But you have to give him the. But you saw from the first one, from the first listening event to the third one, how the album progressed. So it's clear that he's still working on it. He literally rented out Mercedes-Benz Stadium to keep working on the album and gave us a live stream showing us how he was working on the album. So it's clear that he was working on the album. So I think while listening to Donda, yes, it might be too long. Yes, it could have been more polished. But at the same time, he deserves the benefit of the doubt when the fact of the matter is that Universal chose to release it because they wanted numbers versus Kanye actually having the 5 extra days to do whatever he wanted to do to the album. I think he deserves that benefit of the doubt.
Wendell, what do you feel about this rollout? I did love the, let's say Atlanta MLS team there. They were playing, right? And he got the Atlanta photo of the whole field. And Kanye is like up at the very top looking down. I laughed at that. That was fun. That was my favorite part of the Kanye rollout.
Look, for a guy who's as dramatic as you, I don't know how you don't love the dramatics of this whole thing. The 3 different listening parties. The second one was the best. I don't get how you don't love it. I mean, it's superstardom at its finest. Continuing this beef with Drake, which has no, I don't know what the end goal is. I have no idea what he was doing. I still remember when Kanye said, if I get killed, it was Drake who did it. He deleted that tweet. So look, I appreciate it. I love Kanye. I didn't like Donda on the first go round. I like it a lot more on the second and now third. Better than CLB. Neither one is going to be iconic. They'll both get played for a little while, and then we'll.
You didn't feel that way last week, did you?
I thought CLB was better than Donda when I first heard them.
CLB is not even in the same ballpark as Donda.
I think that they're both about 6s or 7s. They're good enough. No. Nothing that I'll go back to and be like, wow. Remember when Donda and CLB came out?
So here's the thing. Before I start even talking about this, let me disclose to the audience that I'm not a Kanye stan at all, because apparently you can't criticize Drake in these days and times without being a stan of Kanye. And yeah, I just want to say that, because all the Drake stans are going to be all like, well, you like Kanye, right? And it's like, no, I could just see the difference in good music and what actually care looks like.
All right, so here's something we're all going to agree on, I think, is that these two projects did not deserve the oxygen that these two ate up for a month here and just took all attention from other projects, other artists, everything going on in the music world to release. Let's say Kanye was a 7 and Drake was a 6.5. That's basically where we stand with these two albums in my mind. You know, just solid projects. They had a lot of money, a lot of resources, and Lord knows they had features carrying them through. Like, these two got the best of the best when it came to features and got outshined front to back by all of them on these two projects here, which was interesting in that a lot of the same people showed up on these two albums and did their thing. Kid Cudi, Lil Baby, who else?
You're missing a big name.
Projects? Jay-Z.
There we go.
You had, who else was on both of these?
Dirk.
Yeah, Lil Dirk.
Yeah, just some awesome performances between the two of these projects. And that basically carried both of these ones. I think it was the saving grace on both of these is that you had some really talented people. J Electronica's feature on Donda was phenomenal. I liked Jay-Z's on Jail. I know. I wish Nemo was here. He's got all this stuff he's saying. I want to hash it out with him. But The Weeknd was phenomenal on Kanye's. You obviously had quite a bit of chorus action going on there, too. Of course, Young Thug glued together Remote Control, which was missing Cudi dearly. But I'll just let that one slide.
Larry Hoover Jr.
I know you probably like Playboy on Junior, Nate.
It was Pop the best Smoke. He sounded in a year.
Did Kanye really have to do the Pop Smoke thing?
Well, the thing behind that is that Pop Smoke always really wanted to work with Kanye. And I guess that's all they got out of whatever
their sessions.
Yeah, whatever session. So I didn't like it, but I understand that if Pop Smoke was still alive, we would have got something amazing, and we probably would have got something that would have been on the same level as 504 and on. Was 504 and on
Off the Grid?
Yeah, like it would probably have been on the same level, and Pop Smoke probably would have been on that song.
Nate, Wendo, you talked a lot about the 5-year verse. What was so great about it?
Did you listen to it?
That was blowing everybody away. I just want to know what you.
But I'm asking you, did you listen to it?
Yes.
No, Nate, Bobby, did you listen to it?
Yeah, I wasn't. I wasn't blown away the same way you were.
This is why white people don't, get to discuss this. It was incredible.
It was. We'll go on your podcast next time.
It was the verse. Come on, my program. It's the Blue Chew podcast. it was incredible. I mean, the guy showed out. And
it's considering the, first time considering he the clips, put together a good verse.
Considering the clips that we see of 5EO on the timeline, this is a billion times better. What an improvement.
If he somehow figures out how to drop an album like this, I'm a 5 year old Warren fan.
Roddy Ricch sounded outstanding on Pure Souls. I'm really becoming a big fan of him. He's got great energy in verses and hooks.
What do you mean becoming? He hasn't released something deep.
I know, but there's the more and more I hear even his old stuff now, which isn't even that old.
Teasing a new album. He put it on his Instagram Live today.
I'm excited for that. That's one of the newer artists that I'm really into, even though I'm not into a ton of them. What else we got here? Griselda on Keep My Spirit
Nate,
Alive.
Good verses. Those are good verses. I appreciated those verses. I think, was it Conway and Westside? Yeah. That's probably the best Westside Gunn verse I've ever heard.
Thank God.
I don't really like Westside Gunn that much, but that verse right there, I'll reckon. The thing about me is that if I don't like something, if I don't like an artist, I don't like them, but if they do something that's good, I'll give them credit. Westside Gunn, you did your thing on that. Conway did his thing as well. I think Benny probably would have been nice on it.
Conway's verse was phenomenal. Quietly one of the best verses on the whole project.
It was short too. It was short, sweet. It was very simple.
Heartfelt.
Didn't try to do too much. Perfect.
I thought both of them really stuck to like the theme and like the sentiment of the album there too. Obviously the religion and family and life and all that kind of stuff. That was one of my favorite tracks on here. I do want to go back to Remote Control and Moon. And Moon, of course, is my favorite song on here. Like the way
Cudi Bias.
I just love the way. And this is my favorite Cudi thing Bias. About Kanye. Even as I've grown more disillusioned with him over the years, he'll clear the runway for Cudi. He'll let Cudi do his thing, have his shine, and give him the platform to do it. And man, did he on Moon. But he should have kept him on Remote Control. Because I love Remote Control. Phenomenal beat, that whistling. I just love that track. And Young Thug obviously glued Kanye and Cudi together great on the first version. But now Young Thug just kind of fades into oblivion, and then you jump in the Moon. And maybe you cut it because you didn't want Cudi going for like 5-6 straight minutes on the album. But you had Don Toliver in there splitting up that track a little bit pretty well there. So I think that would have fit together seamless. I was so bummed Cudi got cut from Remote Control, and it really prevented it from being maybe the best track on the album in my mind.
It's not Junya. Playboy Cardi returning to Die Lit Playboy Cardi instead of that whatever Whole Lot of Red was. Beautiful time.
Did you like Remote Control Moon, Linda?
Yeah. The Cudi doesn't do it for me, you know that.
The 24 interlude to all that too was good. That's like a strong stretch on the album there. Believe what I say, I didn't like as much as other people did. You know how I feel about samples. If Taylor was here, he remembers when I just like shook my head at the Superman sample that Drake did on the demo tape. Because like, why are you sampling? And again, that's Superman by Eminem, a song that if you're younger, you probably don't know. Even younger people probably know that Lauryn Hill song. Like the refrain, that song's popular, this Kanye song, because of the Lauryn Hill song and how popular that is. Kanye's performance on it was pretty bad. It's probably some of his worst singing on the whole album. The beat's cool. It's chopped up. It's got like a little bounce to it. But I don't know, like when you're going to sample, that's not like the spirit of sampling to me. Sampling the most popular Lauryn Hill song on one of the most popular like R&B albums of the last decade or two decades ago, whatever that album came out now. Like that, was that the most popular song on this album? Maybe that or the Weeknd one?
The most popular song?
Probably Jail.
Really?
I mean,
I'd say it was probably the Weeknd one.
I'd say it's Hurricane.
What are the streams? I'd say it's Hurricane. Like?
I think you might be right about Jail in terms of streams, which is surprising, but Hurricane's got to be right up there with it.
Checking the streams.
Off Apple. Yeah.
I'm going on Spotify. Jail has 43 million. Off the Grid has 47 million. Yeah, no, Hurricane has 70 million by far.
Yeah, Hurricane's far number one on Apple, too. Moon has 41.3. Yeah, that's a good song. I'm not even using Cudi Bias there. His singing was great. Don Toliver, who I'm not a huge
fan of, you have to realize that you've just lost all credibility when it comes to Kid Cudi, because everything he does, you love.
Fair enough. So that's Kanye Kanye's album.
I mean, I also think that the one thing about Donda that's impressive to me is that.
Oh, new again. Can we talk about new again?
Let's talk about it.
New again. Who was on it? I don't remember.
It was the graduation style track. It kind of sounded like flashing lights.
Sing it for us, Bobby.
Make me new again. Make me new again. This time. What is it? I don't forget it.
Sounds familiar now. Yeah. That was beautiful singing, Bobby. You should go on tour.
That was a great track. It brought you back to graduation. They're honestly like, if I'm looking up and down this track list, obviously God Breathe was kind of like Yeezus-esque. With like the long outro over there and just like the like spaciness of it and how like rough it was. And you obviously had a track like New Again, which was graduation style. You had like the choruses of Life of Pablo. And then, the Sunday Service Choir was on here. So you touched like a little bit of Kanye's whole discography here. I'd say even Jesus Lord kind of brought you back to like a college dropout-esque Kanye. Yeah. So that was one thing I liked about this.
This is the best case scenario for clean hip hop. This is the best clean hip hop album of all time.
Really?
Yeah. He censored all the curses and stuff. Like, this is literally the only time I'm going to be able to listen to music that's censored. Like, the only time.
Yeah. Period. Why did he do that?
He's because
he's on that evangelical God fearing music. Like, when you see Jesus is King and everything like that, this is a continuation of that. Like, most of the melodies behind the songs are gospel-esque. I think that the execution of that and still making tracks where you can have a drill feel like Off the Grid, you could have something that Playboi Carti could be on. Look at all the artists and the different styles that he incorporated on these beats that primarily have gospel melodies. It's impressive.
The production's really good on here.
And he had a
people
lot of
on
help.
His album talking about people shooting and killing, but they couldn't curse.
Yeah, I mean, it's a start. It's the best. It's literally the closest cursing I'm going to get.
I have no commentary whatsoever on Kanye's religious convictions or like how faithful he is to his. I saw a lot of people talking about that. I don't care about that at all, and I don't think that's that important. But the swearing thing, like. First of all, you're one of the most crude guys ever. like, two albums ago, you were talking about like bleached asshole, and now you can't swear. And like, he's got this line on here too about like, don't be swearing in text or something like that. Like, that's just stupid to me. Like, it's inauthentic. Like, that's something Drake would do to me. Like, just,
I mean, I don't think it's inauthentic. I mean, it's so clear when you look at everything that he's done that he really believes, like, he's really a super religious guy now. And
no, just the swearing thing. I don't have any, like, yeah, I saw a lot of people.
Well, you know, like, super religious people don't like to swear in the first place.
It's true.
Like, he's really on brand with this new lease on life, I guess, that he's found. And that's why I think the album's great. He took that and he still made it something that regular hip hop fans who maybe are not as religious could still listen to, but at the same time, still sticking to his religious ideals. I think that the album is amazing. I think that when you apply context to it and everything that surrounds it, there's not really much he could have done to make it better.
Condense it a little bit. This is what I said.
He might have, but he had 5 days robbed from him.
True.
But this is what I said all along from like the first time I ever heard it. It's so close to being a really good album. If you condensed it, if you had better flow between it, if it kind of progressed and really had more commentary on his mom. I thought that was a criticism that I really thought was valid. Like, you have this whole album about your mom and there was maybe like one track dedicated to her. That was kind of weird. But it is very close to being good because there's a lot of strong tracks on here, especially on the second half. Second half's very enjoyable to me. The part twos was interesting. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Marilyn Manson the baby thing I thought was just like most
that was weird.
Shameful. Like, commentary on here that he had to bring them out at the third show as like a statement against cancel culture. Yeah, and you guys know how I feel about that whole thing. And I guess Trump was supposed to be there too.
Yeah,
that would have just been incredible.
Why didn't he have a Trump interlude? Why not?
Oh no, that would have
Nah. And again, this is where he really presses you to a point where you can't separate the art and artist. That whole discussion that we have there. He had nothing to say about the cancel culture thing either and how it applies to him. And obviously this goes back to his Ye lines too, about like Me Too, Russell Simmons, blah, blah, blah. It's just so like shallow and like empty to me, and just kind of sounds like this 40-year-old guy being scared and upset about something new and flashy. And I guess obviously now that he's in these right wing circles too, it fits right up his alley. But that was the most annoying thing about the rollout to me, was that whole thing. Like, all right, great. The baby's on your album. He just said all this terrible stuff, and everyone's just supposed to go like, all right, fine. It's all good. Like, I mean, you're above criticism. Like, this is the whole cancel thing for me. It's criticism. Everybody's been criticized as long as time. Just because you slapped a new label on it and, like, you know, depicted kids doing it rather than older people or publications or whoever did that stuff in the past, it doesn't make it any different to me. If someone said that stuff 5-10 years ago, before we even talked about cancel culture, the response would be the same.
I think I'd have to agree with you, but I also think that it's important for people to the thing I hate about this is that people aren't consistent. So when their own favorite artist does something that is deemed cancelable, they'll find every excuse for it. But then if it's someone they don't like, then it's like, get them out of there, cancel it. And I just think that while I just wish people would be consistent, because like the same people who don't like Kanye are listening to Doja Cat, and it's like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
I don't have a lot of strong thoughts on the Doja Cat thing, but I thought, again, everything's just be consistent. Different, right?
Just
everything's
be consistent.
Different. I mean, well, no, it's not consistent because everything's different. Like Doja did,
I mean,
one
at the end of the
online.
Day, she did something that was very wrong, very disrespectful to Black people. And she's like, literally the only time she started trying to embrace Black culture is when Black culture could pay her. That's fact.
Yeah.
So that being said, that's something that's super disrespectful in my opinion, and I feel like that's something that shouldn't have been allowed to happen. But now she's a megastar and she could do whatever she wants and she's uncancelable. So I guess cool. But at the same time, like if you're gonna listen to Doja Cat, then you should be fine listening to Kanye too. Personally, I don't.
You didn't gatekeep well enough, Nate. This is on you.
I mean, I think that. I mean, I don't think I didn't see the podcast going here, but I think that there needs to be a serious conversation amongst Black people about what gatekeeping is and how important it is to the preservation of Black people's culture. Because I think that when you allow so many different entities to be present in Black culture, you start to lose it. And I think that's what we're seeing now with hip hop, and you're seeing everybody wants to go pop and everybody wants to, nobody cares about the actual, whether it's lyricism or expressing the opinions of Black people. Like, nobody cares about that anymore. It's all about what can make me the most money, who's the most marketable and stuff like that. And we're seeing marketability be put as first priority in front of actual artistry. And I think that's my issue here, going back to the whole Drake and Kanye thing.
Yeah.
Where Kanye's an artist who actually put something out and actually did something original and is being put towards someone who's arguably the most marketable artist in the world. And apparently the person who's the most marketable artist in the world is going to win because of numbers. And it's like, well, there's so much more to that than just, okay, well, you sold all this, cool, but how's the music? Where's the progression?
All right,
that conversation, then people kind of get silent. So
I'm not going to absolve Kanye of that just because he might add the better album or better sound. So because he did water down his own art here with the controversy and the very sales-driven campaign.
But at the same time, though, like one thing I will say is I did not care about Donda at all. And then the stadium thing's happening, and he started making it an actual event, and we literally witnessed an album progress over time with how it got better every single time the listening event. He had a listening event. That's peak music marketability, because at the end of the day, what the focus is still music.
Yeah.
We're still there to listen to the next progression of Donda. And that's completely different from you dropping an album cover that's literally supposed to be a meme and everybody can meme it. Like that's
I know, but what happens when Kanye has again, and how would it be different if when Kanye has Marilyn Manson, DaBaby, and Trump walk out on that front patio at the event there?
I'm not excusing that at all. I think that's terrible too. Again, though, at the same time,
Kanye's doing the same thing.
It's still art, but it's still artistry though. Like that's still like that's something that he really believes, and he's trying to make art out of that. Versus you, someone else looking around, seeing what's popular, and just doing the popular thing. Like there's two.
You think Kanye believes in it? I guess he does.
It is so clear that he does. And it's like, dude, you don't, like, there's so many better things for you to believe in. Like, you can champion so many better causes. Why are you doing this?
Well, Kanye's
and I get that, but... Well,
Kanye's believed in the weaponization of controversy for a long time, I feel like. And that just sort of runs up this alley for him, in my mind. I can't tell whether he actually believes or and is dedicated to this anti-cancel culture thing and forgiveness and all that, because there's no real commentary on it on the album. It's just those three walking out on a patio. And is he doing it because he believes in the forgiveness of Manson and DaBaby, or is he doing it because everyone's going to start tweeting about it and going nuts? I tend to think it's the latter one.
Of Manson is a in itself.
He kind of doesn't care about Marilyn Manson. All right, let's get on to Drake. Nate hated this record. Me and Linda liked it. It's enjoyable. I heard a lot of people playing it. And why don't we just start with the lead single? What's going to win a Grammy, Nate? I hate to tell you. Way Too Sexy with Future. I was in the club.
Gave Macklemore a Grammy over Kendrick Lamar, and we still care what they think.
I was in the club.
I don't know how long.
Listen, I said this single, this track was going to be the hot girl summer for men this fall. And I went to the club last week. I finally got to hear it in that environment, and it didn't disappoint. This song is so much fun, and really, lots of this album's really fun. I have my problems with Drake. I don't think there's strong themes, lyrics, or even a performance by Drake on here. But again, you had great features, outstanding beats, and I'd say more than one handful of strong tracks here that had a better flow and was just a little bit more condensed. You guys did kind of school me on the album length, but this one felt more condensed than the Kanye one, which I gave some credit to there.
Halfway through, I wanted it to be over. I could not finish it. I did not feel that way once about through listening to Donda the first time, but through listening to Drake the first time, I forced myself to finish it.
And Linda, you enjoyed it.
Don't ever say my name and then lick your lips like
that. You enjoyed it. That was actually just a dry mouth. That wasn't related. But
look, I liked it. It's fun. I don't listen to all the tracks. I listened to about four of the tracks still. It's fun. Nate is a super Drake hater, and I don't like Drake at all, but I knew, I was like, something's going to come out of this.
So let's just go through this. You turn it on, you get into the intro track,
nope.
you hear that Beatles sample,
terrible.
Transition. What? Terrible. Oh, come on. Now we know he's a hater.
Let me explain why. Because
that was some Tuscan leather,
that
chopped up soul.
Intro track, the beat, the sample is good. The beat is good. But at the same time, my general rule when I'm listening to music and I'm listening to a song is that the beat should never be louder than the artist.
All right.
And there were times where the beat overpowered Drake, and I can't really understand.
What was up with Drake's energy on this album? He was half asleep the whole time.
Yeah, like if I can't really understand what you're saying, I can't call it a good song, because like you're trying to rap here and I can't hear you. So that being said, I think that the whole album, okay, it's going to do its numbers, cool. But I think that there's a lot of points where I could point to where there should have been more attention to detail here that could have made this song better that isn't there. And I think that the intro track is a prime example of that. Because if they turn down the beat and they turn down the sample and then I can actually hear Drake rap, then it's a good track. It's a good track. Great track. But they didn't. And they were working on this for years.
Yeah.
And you still don't have everything perfect in terms of mixing. That's a problem to me.
I think Drake could have some interesting stuff to say too, especially when it comes to his son, when it comes to this feud, when it comes to his life and sort of just his status in the music world.
Cover art, it's son is present.
His son's present, but is he saying anything here? I've been hot since the birth of my son. I remain unfazed. Trust worse has been done. Fuck evaluation. Show me personal funds. It's the pretty boys versus the petty boys.
Did you want Drake
to that already? Got a whole set of toys.
You wanted Drake to turn into a Jero the Damager? Like, no, this man, I'm not going to do any political records.
No, I don't need political.
I mean, you don't have to be political, but give me something versus you giving recycling the same. I'm in the club. All these girls want me, and trying to be a fake.
And that's the irony of it, right? Like, is the only
I don't like Drake, but if that's working, why would he change it? Why would he work harder?
That's a fair point, but at the same time,
it's not going to age well, Wendell.
But that's my
do this at 40.
But that's my whole. But that's my whole issue.
How is it now? And it's working perfect.
But that's my whole issue. It's that it's so clear. Like, it's so clear that it's a numbers game for Drake. That no matter what he drops, it's going to go number one.
Bobby, he's 34. It's working perfectly fine.
But in 6 years, you think this is going to work?
No. Drake. I mean, numbers wise, probably. Because he has the cheat code, and whatever he drops is going to do amazing numbers. But at the end of the day, when it's time to talk about music and when it's time to talk about actual artistry when it comes to Drake, you can never have that conversation because everyone's going to be like, well, it's good. It sold 625,000 first week. And it's like, okay, but let's talk about the actual music.
Wendell, do you think this sells the way it does if it didn't have the features it did? And this is really what I'm going to get to on this.
That point is not relevant. To me, honestly, because it did, we don't have to play that hypothetical.
I know, but is he going to have that kind of power in 6 years again? I don't know.
If Drake does whatever, it's going to sell. And just so you got, I don't know if y'all know, we know a bunch of music journalists. They loved this. Like, the ones that we know, in general, they thought it was average, music journalists. But the ones we know love it. So the idea that he's not going to be able to rock this, for years.
The people do love this. Oh my, that night out was revelatory last week. Just seeing the pregame, what was being played, what was how people reacted to it. Very satisfied. Everybody loved this. And then the club, Way Too Sexy. And again, I am thrilled with that song. I love that song. I think it's great for the club. But man, people love this. And we see it in the numbers. Didn't he break a record for streaming?
It's always numbers. It's always numbers. Prove my point. But when I point out on the first track that it could have been mixed better, you agreed.
Are you talking to me or Bobby?
Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just more fixated on the lyrics. I love that beat. I love that transition. And
why
the
are you fixated on lyrics from Drake?
Just because I hear them. And I need to do a reaction video to these, especially Drake albums. And who knows when we'll get another at this point, my first listen, because I hear something like, you're a lesbian, me too. And I'm just like, what? Did I really just hear him say that? And then later.
Little thotty, ain't no white.
Oh my God. Oh my God. The whole Metro housing thing on. And that was on Way Too Sexy. If you're really listening to what he's saying on here, it's like, what is he talking about? And then he had a weird line about his mom later in the album. And what really got me on these first two tracks is he comes out guns blazing. You say the cover art's commentary on the pregnancy, and he's still fixated on his son, but he's really not saying anything here. As I go through the lyrics, he's the co-parent of the year. What does that mean? There's just no real commentary on the connection he's forged with his son. What's been revelatory about that situation? It's sort of he's still just addressing it because everybody's talking about it, and he needs to respond to it in some way. If Pusha never revealed, and I know there was that whole marketing thing that they were gonna do, but do you really think Drake would have revealed it if Pusha never put it out there, at least urgently? It seemed like he was being pretty patient about it.
I don't think so.
And again, you don't have to put your family out there.
Did you guys see Trump's new speech? There's nothing in it. There's nothing in his new speech. Oh my God, there's nothing. I don't know why I was looking for something in Trump when I know how his speeches sound, but there was nothing in it. You'd look at me and say, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Why are you looking for something? I don't look for anything.
No, but
in Drake.
but club it's song. It's not neutral though, because like there's some stuff that's so bad that just sticks. The whole TSU song, the whole song.
Bobby, what you know about TSU, man? Know about Texas Southern, man?
I just want artists, just like artists, to take risks, try to grow as artists. And anything
I do agree with that.
You want Drake to take a risk so you can say this sounds stupid as fuck?
Nah, just take a, like, if you take a risk and it's not the best thing, I mean, like, it's not the best execution, then it's like, all right, well, maybe you'll get better at it. But at the same time, if you're just going to keep making the same thing over and over and over again, it's like, okay, you guys don't really want to listen to music. Y'all just want to listen to the same thing over and over again. Like, you guys care nothing about actual artistry. Insane to me that people can essentially listen to the same song over and over and over again. I get tired. What's the next thing? What's new?
She moved out of state and shit, then went left. She's seeking forgiveness. She used to dance, but she went alone to start up a business. Her daddy is not around. Her mama is not around. I watch her climb to the top of the pole and then get to, I make it rain in this bitch. I make it snow in this bitch. Oh, the lyrics. It's not views bad. Like, the lyrics.
Lindo felt that. Lindo felt that. Oh, boy.
The lyrics aren't as bad as they were on views. And again, the features on here are really good. The beats are great. That TSU beat was awesome. I understand why Nima likes that track. But, like, and then he comes out on In Too Deep, the next track. And this is the other thing, like, Nate, you talked about this on the beginning of the album. But just the energy by Drake here. Keep the gallery open till 10 for you and your friends. Like, that In Too Deep, like, just from line one, I'm asleep. Like, and he sounds so weird and nasally and, like, just, he's not a bad singer. But for large stretches of this album, his energy's on zero. He doesn't sound all that enthusiastic. It's like he's just going through the motion. And if you didn't have Future on here going, too sexy for my shirt, like, carrying it, there'd be nothing here.
How do you go again? What did Future do?
Too sexy for the shirt. Oh, that hook is awesome. That song is awesome. Even with Drake talking his nonsense in the beginning. And then you had Young Thug on there too, right?
Honestly, by the time Young Thug came on, I was tired of the song. Young Thug might have had a great verse, but I didn't pay attention to it.
Who produced that? TM88 and Too Dope.
TM88 is a good producer. He's produced better beats. XL Tour Life is better. Better produced beat.
I love that sample. I love that song. I'm going to be listening to Way Too Sexy, and you guys are too, because it's not going anywhere.
I listen to Spotify, so I'm not going to be listening to it.
In the Bible.
I choose my own music.
And this hook too. Where is it? I got to find it. Turn up every day, girl. It don't say that in the Bible.
Amen.
Like, what is this, like, thing about Drake, like, looking down on people in their lives? Like, he's, like, like, he's, like, Kanye turned gospel, man. I never understood those kind of, like, musings from him. And, again, it's just a guy that has so little to say, it feels like, even though we should. But good things about this album. I do love that intro beat.
It's Drake.
He should. Poppy's Home. Nothing. Is that the best song on the album?
Knife Talk is the best song on the album, and that's because Metro Boomin produced it and Project Pat is on it, and 21 Savage tried to be an artist.
Let me rephrase it. Drake's best performance, Drake's best song on the album. Because that, if that's.
I couldn't tell you.
In Too Deep.
I couldn't tell you.
Oh, he comes. All right, the second half, but the first half, like, he just sounds.
You see how Bobby moves the goalposts to be right?
No, but I can't get to the second half of the song. Like I said, that first line. Leave the gallery open till 10 for you and your friends.
Bobby, Bobby's so confused. He has
no idea. I'm not. I like this album.
There's no clue.
I like this album. But there's just so much to nitpick when it comes to Drake. It could be so much better. The beats and the features, it's all here. And he just had to come through with something to say, some energy.
I think the beats could have been better, to be honest.
Oh man, that's hate.
Nah, I think the beats were awesome. Nah. Love All, that was like,
I feel like some, again, I feel like at least when he tried to get some of the trap beats, I feel like the melody, like it was just hi-hats over a basic repeating melody, and it was like, okay, what else is gonna make me want to
like
this beat?
He was rekindling some like Pound Cake, like energy on Love All, and Champagne Poetry brought me back to Tuscan Leather. You had Yubba's Heartbreak, which I thought had like that nice, and again, Drake does have a style. I know he did like the Afrobeats thing with Fountain, with Thames on Fountains, and like that was really the only moment on here that I feel like he had to go do like some other style and try it out. But he does kind of stick to like that, like piano heavy, like chop soul, like, you know, synth style that he had on, you know, Nothing Was the Same and Take Care. Like that's Drake's style. That's what if he sticks
how old,
to
how
it.
Old is that though?
It's old, but it's him. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather hear him do that than try every style in
I
the
mean,
industry like he did on
I
Views.
I feel you, but at the same time, modernize it. Because these
you
are
only
all
live
beats.
Twice?
Like, these are all beats that could have been on Nothing Was the Same or Take Care or whatever, and it would have been perfectly fine. Like, what makes me feel like this is the 2021 version of Take Care or Nothing Was
that's
the Same?
That's fair, but I'd rather
that's why the beats are. That's why the beats are bad, in my opinion, because they're not... There's nothing about them that makes me feel like, oh, so this is how Drake's sound has progressed from that to now in 2021. There's nothing about it there. There's no progression.
I'd rather listen to him do what made me like him, and I think made a lot of people, you know, start to like his music way back when.
Don't be a victim of nostalgia.
Trying to be WizKid. Like, you'd rather really hear him try, like, drill and, you know, Afrobeats and... all this different kind of stuff. Yeah, what was that song, War, off demo
bad.
Tapes?
Yeah,
that was
bad.
Horrible.
No. I mean, I guess
I'd
if I had
hear
to...
him do what's him.
I guess if I had to pick one, I guess, yes, I agree with you, Bobby, but at the same time, it's also... that is also super unimpressive to me when it hasn't grown in the past, we're 9-8 years.
I know, but is every artist going to advance? You know, like, I'd rather just hear him.
I mean,
like, say,
if you're going to sell as much as you do and you're supposed to be the top of music or whatever, you better advance. Earn that. That's how you earn it.
I think thematically, I mean, yeah, thematically and lyric-wise, he's got to advance. But in terms of the sounds, I think the sounds are on point.
I could genuinely right now make an argument that Kendrick has 3 classics and none of them sound the same. That's advancing. That's artistry.
Well, none of these people in Kendrick's league. I mean, he was just watching this laughing, this whole thing we're talking about here. What do you think of his envelopment? And, it, you know, it's so funny to me that he says he's unfazed to open this out because he's clearly completely fazed by the whole Kanye thing. I did like the line about, the address, plug it in your phone and show up. I thought that was nice and chippy and got to something stupid that Kanye did throughout this whole thing, but he does kind of seem enveloped in this feud and unable to get away from it. He's been talking about it since Scorpion pretty much. And to see him kind of back out of that feud with Pusha T the way he did and then jump back into a feud here with diss lines and stuff like that.
I mean, my whole thing is that if you want to... still dissing them when the actual diss tracks were flowing and you backed away. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm-hmm. That's where
like,
I'm at with that one.
Like, there's no win in that situation for you. I'm like, okay, you're going to have that many subtle disses where we're suddenly going to forget one of the best rap diss lines of all time, You Were Hiding a Child. Mm-hmm. Like, we're never going to forget that. So I personally think that Drake should drop it and just take his L. Cause
no mention of Pusha T on here, of course. It's got to go at Kanye because Kanye's not going to say much. I mean, did he say anything about Drake on Donda?
I don't believe so.
I mean, up and
but
down.
I could be wrong. It's an hour and however long. It's an hour and 38, an hour 48 minutes long. I don't remember everything that he said on that.
Drake's talking up and down about Kanye on this thing. The cover art's stupid. We don't even
and then,
get into that.
And then Drake dropped the leaked that song with Kanye and Andre 3000, and then people ended up liking that more than both albums, which is a massive L. What's the point of leaking a diss song? Why would you leak a diss song towards yourself unless it's bad? But three stacks.
You obviously you pissed off Andre, which is like great.
He's in the dough.
Yeah, you pissed off Andre, so good job with that. I thought something Fantano said that stuck out to me too about this is that like Kanye made an album.
Fantano.
This is true. I think you'll agree with this. Kanye's album thematically is gonna stand the test of time. Like you'll be able to listen to that years from now and the themes will be valid. And you're gonna listen to this Drake album years from now and be like, do I really wanna listen about this stupid Kanye Drake feud from 2021? Like it's all just gonna go dry so fast with Drake. I don't listen to More Life anymore. I never listen to Views again. Demo tape stinks.
I'm interested, since everything with Drake is about numbers, I'm interested to see what the second week numbers look like. Because again, from the first day of streams to the second day of streams, he dropped massively because people were not listening to him as much on the second day. So
that's a good point.
I'm interested to see.
It was something about the release date. I thought you're going from Friday to Saturday rather than Sunday to Monday like Kanye was, which was different. But
that doesn't make sense to me, though, because if you're going from Friday to Saturday, your numbers should increase because people would be out like partying or doing whatever. Like if your album's good and they listen to it on Friday. And also people like me didn't even listen to it on Friday. I listened to it on Saturday.
Mm.
So there's going to be people from hearsay. There's going to be people who haven't checked it out and want to listen to it again. Like either people want to listen to it again or people who haven't checked it out and will listen to it. So ideally, just by logic, the numbers should go up on a Saturday compared to a Friday.
I want to hit on the features on here real quick too. Lil Baby's awesome. I know you want to talk about him a little bit, Nate, probably. Like he just keeps getting better and better. And of course, he got put on this track on this album with the Drake lesbian line that just turned everybody off instantly. Drake's half-ass performance, really. And then Lil Baby just comes on the second half tearing it up. And
wait,
like, kind of just
saying this album's good, but at the same time you could point to tracks and say it's half-ass.
No, I'm saying Drake's performance was half-ass. The things that I think make this album good are the sounds, the features, and I thought it flowed fairly well, better than Kanye's.
But wouldn't that be, but if it's supposed to be a Drake album and the things that you point to as highlights aren't Drake, isn't that a bad album?
Hey, the highlights on Kanye's album weren't Kanye, were they?
Yes, they were, because he was producing. He was involved in all the production. So even if I didn't like his verses,
I know, but that's an unfair standard. Not everybody's producing and rapping.
That's the difference between an artist and a rapper.
Fair enough. And I don't think anyone thinks Drake's better than Kanye if we're looking at the whole package here. It's not even close. But the fact that it's close now,
I had someone try to tell me
indictment on Kanye.
I had someone try to tell me that Views is the classic. They're delusional.
No, Drake doesn't have a classic.
That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of delusional people out there that think that Drake is actually better than Kanye in terms of artistry.
But no, my point is, we're talking about Kanye and Drake in the same sentence here. If this was 2010. We're not talking about a Drake album and a Kanye album in the same podcast.
Yeah. The only reason why we're talking about Drake and Kanye in the same sentence is because they're beefing, one, and two, because Drake puts up the most impressive numbers in music. That's the only reason why.
Well, you really didn't like this Drake album, but as far as most people I'm seeing in terms of their reaction to this, not the same. Six and a half, seven.
That's terrible. You're supposed to be the biggest artist in music, and the best you could give me is a 6 or a 7. That's terrible.
Well, that's bad for Kanye, too, in my mind.
That's fair. But at the same time,
here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are. Like, I almost feel hypocritical about it because this is my big point out of this. Is like, we just ate up this atmosphere of these two for 2 months for this. Two just half-baked albums carried by features that just poured money into the beats to sound good and had two front men here who were just kind of mailing it in. In terms of their performances.
That's not... Because Kanye's producing the beats. We enjoy the beats.
Kanye was never an all-world rapper. But man, like, you look back at My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, even Yeezus, there was some energy, there was some charisma, there was some
bars. I am not disagreeing with you.
Hey, The Life of Pablo had one of his best verses ever.
All I'm saying is that when you're saying that they put all the money into the beats to make the album sound good, Kanye's actually on the beats making them versus Drake paying for them. Those are two different ballparks.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's got that collaboration with 40 that goes way back, that's still there, and that's still authentic to him, I feel like. But yeah, again, and that's what kind of separates Kanye from Drake, what you're talking about there. And like, no one here is going to make the case for Drake overall against Kanye, but right now it's closer than it should be, and that's a problem for Kanye in my mind.
I don't think it is, but
there's no issues for Kanye.
Yeah.
All right, Kanye West, another album in the books. Drake, best album probably since the early ones in my mind, but again, the bar was pretty low there. So
the bar is low, and you're talking about people are satisfied, and it's somehow a good album. If people are satisfied with the bar being low, come on, guys.
Future.
Context, guys. Context.
Future, Yeba, 21 Savage. Features all came through on here. Thames was awesome. Ty Dolla $ign. Rick Ross, man. Oh my God, he's performing in Boston on Friday, and I'm going to miss it on this graduation stuff. That guy, when we talk about best rappers of the last 10, 20 years here, he's going to have to be up there. I mean, wasn't he in a world of his own with that verse on this album?
He's good. Line, so he's not a fan.
What would you say?
He dropped the anti-Fidel Castro line, so. In my book.
Shout out Obamacare, though.
I mean, just looking at, I have to think about it more, but I know for sure he's going to be top 20.
Oh, he is awesome. I wish I was seeing him this weekend. I love seeing Kid Cudi on here, too, and to dominate a track next to Drake. Big feather in his cap. He's had a great year. Years ago, he was kind of fading from relevancy as he was going through depression and everything that he was. So I'm thrilled that he's as relevant as ever now in movies and TV shows, too.
Do you still think that Kid Cudi is better than Lupe Fiasco at rapping?
No, Kid Cudi's, and this is something I've noticed with him now too, is he's kind of moved towards singing and like just sort of like, I don't know what you would call it, like just sort of flowing the way some of these artists do. I feel like that was
One of our first arguments, Kid Cudi versus Lupe Fiasco. And I was trying to tell you that Kid Cudi is not close to Lupe Fiasco when it comes to bars.
No, Kid Cudi's got a strong sort of morph between singing and flowing at this point. You don't really hear him rap bars like structurally like he did early in his career, which fits him better. Like he was sort of always
the singing does for him better.
Yeah, he was always a vibes artist. Like he would just bring vibes to a track, even if he just hums on a track like he did on Waves on that Kanye album way back when. Like it brings something to the table. He's just got energy that he brings, and we'll have to go see a show of him eventually. Nate, you would really enjoy that.
I mean, I like Kid Cudi. I appreciate what he's done for hip hop and how he's inspired people like Travis Scott, amongst other
artists. Oh, he inspired Drake big time.
Yeah, he's inspired. Like, he's definitely a legend and probably belongs in the same ballpark as Young Thug, Future, Chief Keef in terms of inspiring the next generation. Like, I don't dismiss his contribution to hip hop at all. Like, he's a legend in my opinion.
Kid Cudi.
He's a legend.
Yeah. Look at what he inspired.
Oh, like,
there's different types of legends. Chief Keef is a legend.
We have run out of time.
Same thing.
We have run out of time here on Dome Theory. Nate, Lindo, great conversation. Look at Lindo's beard. It's coming in the form. Had to shout that out here. Looking good out there, Lindo, in Texas. You're going up. All right, we'll be back with some more NBA talk in the coming weeks. Training camp is just a couple weeks away. Nate's excited about his Bulls. Lindo is trying to figure out his Lakers.
Nobody's trying to figure out the Lakers. The Lakers will be perfectly fine, and they're probably
perfectly fine.
This is the team, baby.
We'll see. They'll be fun to follow. I'm excited to watch them.
Did you watch that video I sent in the group chat, Bobby?
I don't watch anything you sent.
Bobby's been asking questions about Russell Westbrook for months, and I finally find a clip that will perfectly explain it to him, and he hasn't watched it. Shocker.
We'll talk about it next time. Nate Sperlin, check out the cab. Lindo Zay, you'll hear from him more here as well into the season. Dome Theory, and use the code NFL100 at betonline.ag. We'll see you next week.
Yes.
Yeah.